こんにちは。
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 こんにちは。今日は特別編なので文字起こしのテキストを同時にリリースしています。公式アプリからチェックしてみてください。今日のゲストは理論物理学者でワルシャワ大学准教授の桜井和樹さんです。イェイ。
イェイ。
ありがとうございます。
お帰りなさい。
あ、ただいま。
久しぶりです。
2018年の2月に来ていただいて、
はい、
そこから、
もうだから、2 years.
ね、2年経ってしまった。
ね、
いつの間にか。
ね。
ね。またあの、うん、I know nothing っていうパーカーを着ていらっしゃいますけど。
No progress.
絶対嘘だ。絶対嘘だ。っていうわけで、普段はポーランドに、
はい、
お住まいなんだけど、
ワルシャワに住んでいます。
日本に来られたっていうタイミングをキャッチして来ていただきました、
うん、ありがとうございます。
マイケルとね、メールを、
そうですね、
長いメールを結構やり取りして、
ね、結構長かったね。
アカウントシェアしてるから私も見れるんだけど、すごい、このブローマンスもう付き合っちゃえばって思ってるんだけど、
いやいやいや、
よし、結構
面白い、
真剣に考えてたっていうか、
そう、ね、
we were like, yeah, trying to have a productive discussion,
but いや、桜井さんめちゃくちゃ優しくて、こう、マイケルの質問にめっちゃちゃんと長く、ね、全部、しかも論文を査読してるレベルで、無料で、しかも。
いい加減なこと言えないなと思って。
すごい、どんだけ優しい人なんだっていつも思ってたんですけど。
でも、ああいう論文見るの楽しいですけどね。
そっか。
うん。
うん
うん、
すごいよね。一回なんてもう、PDF で回答を書いてくれてた時があって、私あれが衝撃すぎて忘れられない。どんだけ優しいのみたいな。なんですけど、どうですか、この2年間、どうされてましたっていうか。
いや、研究したり、教えたりとか、
うん。
うん。学生もできたりとかして、結構忙しい2年間でしたね。
うん。
うん
うん、
Has there been progress? In terms of the, figuring out what's going on with the universe, you know, what we know.
It's not dramatic progress, but it's some steady progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's been happening in the field of, I guess, particle physics in the last 2 years? Has there been like major breakthroughs? I know there was some progress with gravity.
That's right, right? Yeah. Gravitational waves are very hot topics right now.
Mm-hmm.
So people are start using gravitational waves to study the phase transition in the early universe.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a phase transition before the universe. When the universe is very hot, then the Higgs has the different properties than now. So the Higgs field is like a more gas state.
Mm-hmm.
So the particle can travel very fast at the speed of light, and when the universe cools down, then Higgs gets some field value, so it's more liquid state. So all the particles have mass. So there is a way to study those phase transitions by looking at gravitational waves, and that is currently very hot topics.
What do you think about the graviton as a hypothetical particle? Do you think we'll detect it? Do you think it's a thing? Like it exists?
Yeah, yeah.
Or
the graviton must exist. And theoretically, because graviton should be a consequence of the gravity and quantum mechanics. And it must exist. But detecting graviton is very, very difficult because the interaction rate is so tiny.
So what is graviton?
So... Yeah, so
it's the force carrier
of gravity.
Yeah.
But in quantum mechanics, we found that the particle and the wave are kind of the same thing. So any field has some associated particle.
Hmm.
So if you have a gravitational wave, then it must have some particle associated to the gravitational waves.
Right.
Like a photon, like electromagnetic wave has associated particle called photon.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
And that particle only, it's only relevant at the very small scales, right?
Right.
It's, we see the wave and we assume that there's sort of a quantized, like explicit
right.
actor
mm-hmm.
to make that wave appear. Like the wave is the emergent phenomena.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did everyone assume that there is graviton for a long time, or is it something
I think
that's
don't new, some people or? Still argue that it may not exist, right? Graviton.
Yes, very few people, but yeah. Because it hasn't been discovered yet.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. But it must exist.
Hmm.
if we believe our current theory.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So ka.
There's no room in our current theory, because our current theory is incomplete.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't think that there's room in our current theory for something else to exist other than
graviton. I mean, that's why very few people claim that the graviton might not exist.
Mm.
But then you have to come up, you have to assume more assumptions. And but if we just extrapolate our current theory to such level, then the graviton is a consequence of that.
Yeah.
So what are some other... I mean, there weren't any new particles discovered in the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, after Higgs boson.
No, right?
No, yeah.
Hmm. There aren't that many that we're looking for, right? Just graviton and...
I mean, in the standard model of particle physics, we found pretty much all particles. The Higgs boson was the last particle we haven't seen.
Wow.
But now we found it. So the standard model is kind of complete. So now we are looking for something beyond the standard model, like an extra dimension or a supersymmetry and something like that. Or a dark sector for the dark matter, dark energy. Yeah.
I see a lot of headlines about dark matter. Like the other day I saw something that was like, dark matter yappa nai kamo mitaina. Nanka keisan machigatteta kamo mitaina. やつを見たかと思えば、こう、いや絶対あるっていうのを前提に話している記事の方がまあ多いじゃないですか。
そのダークマターがないっていう記事は結構そのポップサイエンスが結構食いつくというか、まあ受けがいいですけどね。でもやっぱりその僕たちの周りの研究者はもうダークマターのエビデンスってたくさんあるんですよ。その、まあ、一つはその銀河のローテーション、まあ、回転速度が一つなんですけど、その他にも CMB とか、その銀河構造の種になってたりとか、あとグラビテーショナルレンズングの結果とか、あとクラスターって言って、まあ、2つの銀河がこう衝突する、あのイベントがあるんですけど、そうするとあの普通の、まあ、物質とかはぐちゃってなるんですけど、ダークマターだけスルーってこうすり抜けるんですね。でそういうのがグラビテーショナルレンズングを使って観測されていて、その全部をあの説明できるダークマター以外の理論っていうのは未だに知られてないですね。
So strange, the dark matter thing.
Yeah.
It does seem like there's been a lot of progress there. It's related to the graviton talk, right?
The evidence of dark matter so far is only gravitational.
Right. So it must be gravitons, right?
No. I mean, they interact with graviton, but they are not graviton. Dark matter, graviton has massless. It's zero mass, like photon. But dark matter has to be heavy. Because it attracts... other particles by gravitational force.
Do you have an idea of what it might be made out of, dark matter?
So the most popular assumption is the superpartner of photon.
Photino.
Yeah.
But why doesn't it just... I mean, if it's superpartner of the photon, do we expect it to sort of behave... like a photon?
Yes. Its interaction is very similar to photon. And sometimes photon can interact with matter. So that's why many people are trying to detect dark matter using electromagnetic weak interactions, basically. So if you have lots of some material like water in the very deep underground, then you can shut down all the cosmic rays. So this liquid is very quiet state, and because the Earth or solar system is moving in the galaxy, so we are always constantly having a wind of dark matter. Right? So as from time to time, this liquid material will interact with dark matter, and if you have a sensor around the tank, then you can detect the signature of dark matter. But this is not gravitational interaction. This is a weak interaction. So we can actually identify the nature of the dark matter. This is a very important experiment.
I know they've detected neutrinos.
The same way, yes.
With that method. So are we expecting to get an interaction from Fotino with that experiment?
Yes. If Fotino is dark matter, then we should find.
And there's a lot of dark matter, right?
Yeah.
And its interaction seems powerful, and it doesn't really seem like a photon interaction with gravity. Do you know what
I don't
know. So like, if you imagine that, if you have to imagine the universe and imagine where the dark matter is, it's hard to imagine it being clumped up or being where it is as Fotinos. Like, do we see a very similar, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but like
you're talking about the distribution of the dark matter in the universe.
Right? The distribution of the presumably Fotinos in the universe. If they behaved like photons, would we expect that same distribution?
No, because Fotino has the photon is massless, and Fotin has mass. So basically, So the
why is that?
Why Fotino is massive?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is based on the theory called supersymmetry. And in supersymmetry, if you exchange photon and Fotino, nothing happens. So this is a symmetric operation. And after symmetric operation, if theory is symmetric, nothing happens, right? It looks exactly the same way. But supersymmetry must be broken, because otherwise
we won't exist.
Otherwise, Fotino should be everywhere. Fotino behaves like photon, as you said. But there is a symmetry breaking because Fotino is massive, photon is massless. So, because supersymmetry is broken in nature, so that's why Fotino is massive. And because Fotino is massive, the distribution is different. So because two Fotinos attract each other by gravitational force, so they clump together. So they basically, dark matter halo or dark matter clump is a seed of the galaxy. Without this dark matter clump, the galaxy is never be born.
And why are the dark matter clumps, like where they are? That comes from quantum fluctuations from early on.
So this is related to the inflation theory Komatsu-san talked about. So in the CMB, you see like lots of red spots, blue spots, and fluctuations. So those are the seed of the basically density fluctuation. And the dark matter get together to the dense region.
And density fluctuation implies like energy fluctuation? Right. So it's like hotter in denser areas?
Yeah.
I see.
So that area attracts the dark matters, and they become a seed of the galaxy.
What do you think, Mommy?
I was reading about that in Vice article, like a couple of days ago. Like, they were talking about how some galaxies don't have dark matter,
mm-hmm.
and like why that is possible.
What did they say?
They said, なんかそのフォームの仕方が違うから、その昔からあるやつだったらダークマターがないと今桜井さんが言ったみたいにできないけど、その何か衝突したりとかして後からできたやつはそのダークマターがストリップオフされてっていうの、なんかすごいうなずいてくれ
る。そうそうそう。嬉しい。That's what I talked about bullet clusters. So if two galaxies collide each other, then the dark matters are just going through, and only the matter galaxy without dark matter will be formed.
And the because they're massive particles, I guess. Why would they go through? Because they're not interacting,
right?
And because they have some because inertia,
right? Yeah, yeah.
So we would expect kind of like this,
yes,
like
right.
Cross kind of like spray, a cross spray, like
yeah. So dark matter is like tōmeining, right? So they can just going through.
And there's dark matter like in this room,
yeah,
right now.
Probably. Yeah.
And is it moving? Is it stuck to me? Am I? Do I have like a cloud of like that interaction is probably too weak.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just is it just moving through this room
it's
at
like
high speed?
Neutrinos.
So they're moving. Almost light speed, or
no? The velocity is about 1/1000th of light speed. So basically, dark matter. We believe that dark matter is sitting in the same velocity of the cosmic microwave background, and we are so our solar system is moving in this frame. In the 1/1000th of the speed of light, so the dark matter is coming by 1/1000th of speed of light
from
the solar system with respect to the solar system. Basically, solar system is moving, right, and dark matter is sitting still.
I see.
Ah, so it's that.
I see.
Right,
so we're just moving into it.
So if we are on the bicycle, then you feel wind, right? So that's the same thing.
And so the is the solar system our bicycle?
Yeah.
So not the galaxy. The galaxy is not the bicycle.
So the galaxy is in the same frame as dark matter. So the dark matter and the galaxies are sitting still. We are moving inside it. So ですね。
Wait, does it go through us?
Yeah.
Like neutrino?
Yeah, like neutrinos, yeah.
And there's a similar amount of these photinos or dark matter as neutrino?
It depends on the mass. Actually, everything I said is depending on the mass.
Right.
So the dark matter could be super light, maybe lighter than electron, or it could be super heavy. It could be dark matter could be primordial black holes, actually.
So like they're really small black holes?
Not.
Or?
Yeah, it's not really small, but some macro. It's not as big as sun, for example.
Okay. Is that the sun's pretty big, though. It still sounds like it's pretty big. Because, you know, I thought there were like these really small sort of technically, it's a black hole that are created in collider experiments.
If it's very small, it evaporates very quickly, so it disappears instantly. So if that dark matter has some lifetime, it must be quite big.
So dark matter がじゃあ何なのか、なんでできてるのかっていつわかると思います。
もうね、来年ぐらいに分かってほしいですけどね、その実験結果によるというか、もしもそのフォトンのスーパーパートナーであれば来年にも分かるかもしれないですし、もしもグラビトンのスーパーパートナーだったらもう多分だいぶかなり長い間分からないでしょうし、
なるほど。
And that's because the gravitational interaction is so weak?
Yeah.
Why is it so weak?
Well, that's a very interesting question, but I
don't... Do we know?
No, we don't know. This is actually the big mystery in the particle physics.
Because it's like way weaker
yeah.
than the other forces, right?
Yes.
And we basically can't detect it.
Yeah.
But we see it. It's so obvious.
Yeah, because the scale is different. So yeah. we are talking about gravitational force between the Earth, mm-hmm. the whole Earth, and my body.
Yeah.
Right? But my body can be lifted up by... by a crane or something, by electromagnetic force.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different. I mean, electromagnetic force is much, much stronger than gravity force.
Mm. Mm. そっか。
Yeah.
So そういう実生活でそういうふうに言われるとめっちゃ分かりやすいです。
Mm. So like if you lift up clips by magnet, so this is a competition between magnet pulling clip upwards versus...clip is pulled by Earth by gravitational force.
Right.
And the magnet is so tiny compared to the Earth, but magnet can win. So this is the difference between...
そっか。そっか。だからめっちゃ弱い。
めちゃくちゃ弱いですね。
そっか。なんかこうイメージとしてなんか地球大きいし、なんかみんな地球にくっついてるから、すごく重力、なんか地球の重力ってすごいこう、巨大な、なんかイメージ勝手に思ってたけど、
まあ、地球が巨大なんですよね。
あ、そうですね。
If the 地球 was an electromagnet,
you know, that's like, a huge
like an alien electromagnet, you would never be able to jump.
Right.
You know, you just try to pull like the magnet off the fridge, and it's like it's
無理だよ。
It's stuck. It's shocking, but it's kind of like the fields align in a certain way that make it really hard. If you like get angle, it, like.Gets weaker,
yeah.
All of a sudden, like gravity doesn't really work that way, right? You can't jump at an angle. It doesn't really help.
Right.
You know? そうだね。
But it's crazy that you can jump with your legs, and like actually you come off the earth.
Yeah.
You Even actually though come the, off. The earth is pulling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can fight gravity.
But I think we sort of needed to evolve that way.You know, otherwise we would just be stuck. But there are much larger planets that exist,
sure.
right? Where yeah. probably the life on those planets can never leave because the planet is so large.
And you know, gravitational pull is so large.
Well, like they wouldn't be able to leave using like rocket technology. It's just like...
そっか.
Might be.
Yeah. Right?
Weird. Yeah.
Like, can you take off from Jupiter? I mean, it's gas, so you I guess you can't. But I think the amount of energy that you need to like leave Jupiter is so crazy that
yeah. Or if you have a space station on the moon, it's very easy to to go off.
Yeah, the moon is super weak. The gravity, right?
So.考えたことなかった。This is strange.
Yeah.
Mm.
So do you think dark matter is more likely to be the Fotino or the superpartner of graviton? Both of them make sense mathematically?
Both of them make sense, yeah. But Fotino is kind of now very constrained by current measurement. So my bet is kind of a superpartner of...Weak boson.
What's that?
Weak boson is a force carrier of weak nuclear force. So the weak nuclear force is basically the force of the nuclear reaction. And we already detected the weak boson, so the carrier of the weak force. And we...postulate superpartner of the weak boson. And this one, if that is dark matter, it is consistent that we haven't found those dark matters in the underground experiment and also at LHC. And the prediction is very solid. If that is a dark matter, it must be 3,000 times heavier than the proton. And it is consistent that... the thermalytic abundance. So basically, you can compute how much dark matter should be at the present universe if the superpartner of the weak boson is a dark matter. Hmm. So basically, when universe is hot, then the dark matter density can be calculated because using thermodynamics. Mm-hmm. And then we can just cool down the universe and we can compute how much dark matter is abundant right now. And mm-hmm. that if this weak boson superpartner is 3,000 times heavier than the proton mass, the abundance is consistent with the measurement.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. すごい、あの、え、なんて言うんだろう、これ。なんか、クイズじゃない、なんていうの、その、逆算して、
そうですね。
ってことですもんね。
うん。うん、
So this is a separate candidate from the graviton superpartner and Fotino?
Right, so it's different.、Hmm. Yeah.
And are there more candidates for, there、yeah. must be several more candidates for、right. dark matter.
Yeah, so every neutral...super partner can be a dark candidate of the dark matter, like、mm. Higgsino.、Mm. So by the way, this super partner of the weak boson is called Wino.
Wino.
And、huh. the super partner of the Higgs boson is called Higgsino.、
Mm.
And Higgsino can be also a dark matter candidate.、Mm. And the other candidate could be if the world is not three-dimensional but four-dimensional,So we have extra dimension,、mm. but it's very curled up in small space.
Not time? You mean like a...
Not space-time four dimensional.
Okay.
It's additional space dimension.、
Mm.
But obviously we don't see them, right?、
Mm.
So if there was one extra dimension, it must be like curled up like a straw. Like if you look at straw,、
mm.
It's the surface is two-dimensional,、
mm-hmm.
but we don't see them because one dimension is very small,、
hmm.
and、mm. it looks like one-dimensional object, right?
Okay.
So the fourth dimension, the extra dimension, can be very curled up, and、if photon is moving in that direction, then, I mean, for us, the photon is not moving in the 3D space, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's moving in the extra dimension. So it looks like it has a lot of energy, but it doesn't move.、
Mm-hmm.
So energy without velocity is called mass. So this is、mm-hmm. like a massive photon.、
Mm-hmm.
And this is a candidate of the dark matter.
Massive photon.
Yeah.
This curled up dimension,
yeah,
is that an idea specific to the dark matter problem, or the curled up dimension concept is consistent with everything else in cosmology? And
yeah.
And are there even more curled up
or yeah,
dimensions beyond that?
So one very promisingcandidate of the beyond the standard model is called string theory.、
Mm.
And the string theory is amazing that、so in the particle physics, we have lots of different、particles like quarks, electrons, photons, weak bosons, gravitons. And、string theory, they say that、those particles are actually have the same origin.、Mm. They are, if you zoom upsufficiently, they look like、vibrating strings. And the strings can have a different、vibration modes, and different vibration modes correspond to the different particles.、
Hmm.
So they can unite all different particles in a single origin. So it is a very beautiful theory. And,、but if this theory is consistent in mathematically, the space-time dimension must be 10-dimensional.
Whoa.
So, nine. And
the strings are, how many dimensions is a string?
A string is one dimensional object living、mm. in the 10 dimensional space time. But obviously, our universe looks like 3D.
But what right. what is a one-dimensional object?
Sorry?
Like what is a one? Did you say one-dimensional?
Yeah, like a string, like one-dimensional, like
right.
one direction.
Right,
only.
Right. And it, when we say one-dimensional, we mean mathematically, it's like one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I'm trying to like, obviously you can't imagine something that's one-dimensional. But
no, you can't imagine.
Like
hair is one-dimensional, right?
Yeah. If it's a hair that no matter how much you zoom in, it never gets thicker.
Ah.
Right?
So you are saying that the volume is zero.
If it's one dimensional, then the thickness has to be
zero.
one or zero.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But the electron
mm-hmm.
is point-like object. It's a zero-dimensional object.
It's zero-dimensional.
Yeah. Electron is a point.
Hmm.
No volume.
So is it... It's not data, though. It's a thing. Or is it just information?
Oh. I don't... I think it's the same thing, no?
Are they... They're the same thing?
I mean, electron exists in the real world, but it's also in the information.
But if you can... If it was possible to zoom down to electron level, is there like a little yellow ball that with a minus sign, you know, like, or is there really, it's like there's nothing there, but there's just the quantized charge is there, like, is there a physical
object? It is a physical
object.
I don't know what you mean by physical object, but you can.
But zero dimensional sounds like it's not a physical object.
For us, right? Because we are living in a macroscopic world.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to imagine zero-dimensional object.
But data is kind of zero-dimensional object. It's like it's a...
From our point
perspective,
of view,
right? So like information is sort of...
Yeah. I think it's hard, right? Because we can only imagine things from our own perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And define things like physical objects and stuff like that. But in reality, I guess it's like not our reality, but the universe's reality. It's it's different, right?
Yeah, yeah. The quantum physics is very different from our daily perspective. So.
And it's massless?
Is that no, electron is massive.
Hmm. But it's zero dimensional.
Yeah.
No, that's
and,
crazy.
And also, yeah. And also spinning.
Oh, right, right.
But zero dimensional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's zero dimensional, like, what's the point of even spinning?
You know, like, exactly.
Like, what? Why bother?
謎すぎる。で、しかも、ちょっと戻るけど、そのさっきの fourth dimension、
はいはい、
ストローみたいな。
はい。
その見えないけど、
うん、
ある。
はい。
ぽい。
はいはい。
それもなんかこう、想像できないというか意味がわからない。
I think is it like it's curled up everywhere?
Yeah.
Or the whole universe is curled up?
No, curled up everywhere.
Okay.
Every point
right,
you have
right.
extra dimension and it's curled up.
Okay.
だからここもってこと？
そうです。
これも。
So the dimensionality of this dimension that you're referring to, this curled up fourth dimension, is not theorized to be an emergent phenomenon, but it's more fundamental? Or...
Yeah, we believe it's fundamental.
だからストローの外側にいて、
はい。
これが全てと思い込んでる。
そう、ストローの上に乗ってて、
でも
この左右に動いてるんですけど、あ、世の中一次元の宇宙なんだなと思うんだけど、
うん、
よく拡大してみるとあこっちの方向にも動けたんだっていう自由度があるわけですよね、
うん、
and that's not time? That's something else?
No, something else. It's space.
Hmm.
It's space.
Right. So what happens if you reverse the direction of the curl?
If you reverse direction?
So if something curls, it curls one way.
Right.
Like counterclockwise.
Yeah.
And what happens if that curls the other way?
They look similar, but they have a distinct property. You can associate some number to it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, so if you have Higgs, let's say you have some particle, very heavy particle, they decay. And by the way, this is not moving in the fourth dimension.
Okay.
And they can decay to the two massive photons.
Mm-hmm.
But because the first object does not move to the extra dimension direction, it must decay into one massive photon moving one way and the other massive photon moving the other way, right? So this is called parity.
Right, I see.
Mm-hmm. So this is important because of this parity, this massive photon is stable. So they cannot decay into a standard model particles because standard model particles are not moving into the extra dimension direction. So the momentum conservation of the extra dimensional direction protects the massive photon from decaying.
And is that why it's always the speed of light? Or is that separate?
The massive photon is not moving speed of light because they are moving in the speed of light in the fourth dimension.
Right, okay. But they are moving at the speed of light.
In the fourth dimension.
In the fourth, okay.
Yeah.
So その10 dimensions あるかもっていう中にタイムも入ってる、
はい、入ってますね。だから9次元の空間で6次元がこうカールドアップしていて、で3次元が広がってるっていう感じですね、うん、でその6次元のそのカールドアップの仕方がいろいろな仕方があるんですよ、
うん、
あ例えばドーナツなんか、まあ、ドーナツ型にするとか、まあ、ドーナツは3次元ですけど、まあ、2次元ですけど、まあ、いろんなやり方があって、そのやり方によっていろんな性質の3次元の宇宙が可能 でそれがマルチバースっていう考え方なんですけど、そのいろんなコンパクト化の仕方によって違う物理法則の宇宙がたくさんあるっていうことですね。
Are you supportive of the multiverse idea? Is that...Because multiverse kind of gets clumped in with like a sort of, I don't know. I had the impression that there are a lot of multiverse theories that aren't viable. But, because, you know, people kind of casually say like it's an alternate universe or, you know,
parallel universes.
Right, you know, it's kind of a science fiction notion.
Mm-hmm.
And people weren't that...serious about multiverse as cosmological theories,
uh-huh.
I feel like, until maybe more recently.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah. There are different versions of multiverse theories.
Mm.
Mm.
So the one version is that if universe is infinitely large, then you can have the infinite of the finite patch of the universes. If universe is infinitely large, then let's take our observable universe, which has some 10 billion light waves across or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have infinite of the same patches, right?
Mm.
So because there are infinite of universes, there are infinite of the arrangements of the atoms inside of the universes. So it must have universes have the same, almost same particle arrangement as our universe. So there must be some parallel Earth, parallel bilingual news, and I'm maybe wearing different...
no way.
maybe a different color.
different color. And... So this is one version of it. Mm. And the other one is quantum parallel universe. So because quantum mechanics, you have a superposition of different possibilities, and they are running parallel, parallel. Mm. So there must be a slightly different version of the world existing in other quantum superposition.
Does that imply that would all the multiverses exist from the very beginning? Like, from the very beginning, in multiverse theory, like, there were always infinite universes? Or does the number of multiverses increase over time as the, I guess, wave functions sort of collapse?
And so this quantum... Which parallel universes are you talking about?
I'm talking about your first...
My first one.
First one.
The first one is a universe... Because universe is so big, you have the same patches of the universes.
The beginning? Or is there a beginning? Is there a beginning?
Yeah, yeah. Within this...
Big theory, bangs.
Yeah.
Bangs?
Plural.
It's the same Big Bang, like in the same time schedule, but space is so huge.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is that really a multiverse, though? I feel like that's kind of
same universe, right?
Same universe.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the another version of the multiverse is coming from the inflation theory.
Hmm.
And so inflation theory is before the hot Big Bang universe, there was a period of the time when the universe is exponentially inflated and expanded. And then, by the way, so this expansion is driven by the dark energy or the energy of the vacuum.
Mm.
And if energy of the vacuum is very high, then the space must expand exponentially. And at some point, this... vacuum energy decay into the ground state, and then that releases the lots of energy as a particle production. So this creates Big Bang.
Hmm.
But there is a quantum fluctuation, and some region of the space, vacuum energy is faster than the other region. And just by coincidence, some small patches of the universe, the vacuum decay is prolonged. And meanwhile, this small patches expanded so huge, and it's bigger than the other part of the universe.
Mm.
And then inflation starts again. So this creates some fractal structure of the multi-universes.
So it reinflates? Will we be inflated again? Like
this universe?
Yeah.
If
this theory was correct, then eventually would we be reinflated, or do we just fall to lower energy state?
I love how you just said this universe.
Because this universe, the vacuum is very close to zero, so it's difficult to come back to the high vacuum energy state. So you have to kind of decrease the entropy. So the entropy is always increasing, right?
Right.
But from time to time, in a very rare occasion, entropy could reverse into the zero. And if that happens, then you can... So basically, we collect all the energy, available energies in the universe, and make it to the vacuum energy. Then our universe can be inflated again, but this is very, very, very rare, and I don't believe it happens.
Oh, maybe, I mean, this is just bro science speculation, but if the vacuum energy state changes, and that fundamentally changes the behavior of some fundamental particles, so that, let's say it changes the behavior of gravity or something, so that all the galaxies suddenly have much stronger gravitational force, and then maybe that would increase the entropy as you collect all the stuff in the universe and it comes together again.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like the big crunch or something, or repeating Big Bang theory?
Right.
Are those credible?
This is not
plausible.
So we found that the universe is accelerating. We have an accelerating expansion universe, right?
Mm.
Dark energy.
Because of the dark energy. So that's why the big crunch is now not promising right now.
その宇宙が、ユニバースがインフィニットだから同じパッチがっていうのって、その、あのマンキーのシェイクスピアのやつと同じ考え方？
Monkey will eventually type Shakespeare's Hamlet.
Is it a similar idea? Because it's infinite.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mm. Like anything
that's like
is possible.
The anthropic principle? Are you familiar with?
Yeah, yeah.
So
anthropic, so the one big mystery is that our universe, the fundamental parameters are tuned so kindly that the intelligent life form can be formed.
Mm.
For example, if you change the vacuum energy slightly higher, then the universe is expanding much, much faster, and the galaxy formation is impossible.
Mm.
Or if dark energy is slightly smaller, then the universe is collapsed instantly by the gravitational pull. And somehow the vacuum energy is so kindly tuned that life form is possible. And one explanation of that is there are lots of different universes with different values of dark energies. And we just happen to find ourselves in a very hospitable universe.
Hmm.
And I guess, if I may add, I think the core idea is like, we wouldn't be able to ask the question in the first place unless it was finely tuned.
Hmm.
Right, yeah.
Right?
That's
so we're like...
anthropic principle. Yeah.
Like we're... So there's like two conflicting principles, which is... I don't know what the first one is called. Something like Occam's razor or something. But you kind of assume probabilistically, randomly chosen that it would be... You would have a result that's typical, right? So probabilistically, if you just randomly appear somewhere, you would assume that it's a typical situation because most situations are typical.
Right.
But being able to ask the question is extremely atypical.
Right.
Right. And we can ask the question, and so it's like, we can't be in the typical.
Right.
Or it's like, we're typical among people who can ask the question.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, for example, the Earth, the distance from the Sun to the Earth is very, has a very peculiar number because the water can be the liquid form. Mm-hmm. If we are a little bit closer to the Sun, the water is a gas form.
Mm-hmm.
If we are a bit far away, then it's ice.
Mm-hmm.
So we can ask why the distance from the Sun to the Earth is so kindly tuned.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no... I think the ancient astronomers are asking that question, mm-hmm. trying to find the reason from the mathematics and some higher...
So it's either like there are so many, like infinite numbers of universes, and then this is just one of them, and it just happened to be so friendly
right.
to life, or someone engineered it in a way that life can form, like if we live in simulation, or I mean, either way, it's really hard to imagine that there's only one universe and miraculously it's so friendly to life form.
Yeah, if there is one universe, it raises more questions.
Right. あまりに奇跡すぎる。
うん、そうですね。
I think that about the moon. So the moon is pretty much the exact same apparent size as the sun.
Right.
And that enables a phenomenon where it blocks out the sun and you can see the corona and helmet streamers and stuff. You can see this with the naked eye.
Mm.
And this, the probability of that being possible mm-hmm. just seems so absurdly small. mm-hmm. You know, that they would be the same apparent size like yeah. that and enable this weird, such a weird phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, it's, there's no reason for the moon to end up being
yeah.
that same size. You know what I mean?
Did you read Santai? The Three Body Problem? The fiction,
no.
the sci-fi book?
No.
Okay. Because like, that book made me think about how they kind of, without any spoilers, they kind of talk about other planets with mm-hmm. life forms. But it's the environment is really harsh. Mm-hmm. for them. So they almost go extinct like every whatever years とか.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go through that, thankfully, right? So I was, you know, like something that you said みたいな感じでそのなんだ、たまたまこの年間を通して普通に暮らせる。Mm-hmm. なんかその毎回毎回何かコスミックイベントが起きて10年に1回こう人口が3分の1になるとか10分の1になるみたいなそのために毎回備えなきゃいけないとかっていうのもない、
うん、
でそれはなんか当たり前と思ってたけどそれもまあ環境によっては全然あり得る話じゃないですか。そうですね。うん。
But there have been, you know, 6-7 like major extinction events on Earth.
Right, but it's not like every 10 years, like 5-10 years, we go down to one third of the population, right?
Yeah.
And then we all have to work together to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not, that could, I guess, easily happen if the environment was slightly different.
But I think we like giddy survived. Like, I think humans like seriously giddy like survived on this planet. And the dinosaurs are all dead. Everything old is dead,
yeah.
except for like some weird looking deep sea fish or something and crocodiles, right?
なんかめっちゃインフィニットな数のユニバースがあってその中の一つがたまたま今これだとしたらユニバースが一個しかないっていうよりもさらにすごいっちゃすごくない?
Is it すごい or is it 普通? What do you think?
I think it's すごい。
よかった。
Right, even if there are infinite number of universe, we happen to be in this one.
Mm. But if I was a mudfish, then I wouldn't have any questions about this. I wouldn't like. So that's like the, for me, the anthropic principle freaks me out because it's like, could you have like just not been a person, or could like, you know, it's kind of personal because you. Your perspective is on Earth as a human being. So like
right.
the anthropic principle makes cosmology like a personal
right.
like phenomenon. It's like
right.
the observer, the scientist is, you know, recognizing that things appear the way they are partly because they can observe it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that just
mind-blowing?
Yeah.
And this is not actually lots of scientists do not like the anthropic principle because it may be some reason, some physical explanation why dark energy is very close to zero but not zero. But if you bring this anthropic principle, we basically give up the explanation of it. Scientific explanation of it, we just say this is just happened.
Right. It's tautological.
It's just how it is.
Right?
Yeah.
I one thing that I remembered from your email exchanges was when you mentioned time, like whether the universe is probabilistic or deterministic. And if it's deterministic, then why are we in present? Like, why, like, what's the difference between past time and present and future?
Right.
And that really made me think about, like, 確かになんか、もし deterministic だったら、なんで present にいる、なんで意識が present にあるんだろうみたいな。なんか、なんでその一枚のシートじゃなくて、こう進ん、一歩方向に進んでいる、その一点に、そんなにエンファシスがあるっていうか、状態にあ、いるんだろうって思って、ってことは、deterministic じゃないのかなとか、それか、あの、高井健さんが言ってたみたいに、その、進化とか、まあ、物事には理由がない場合もある。とか、それが別にオプティモルじゃない場合もあるって言ってたじゃん。だから、なんか、deterministic なんだけど、特に理由はなく、その意識が present に置かれてて、なぜか free will とかがあるような錯覚を、持たされてる。で、それも別に特に理由がないとかもあり得るのかなとか。
This time thing, time thing is very mysterious to me. Like in, when you, when I learned the special relativity, then it came to the realization that the time and space are very similar. Because they kind of mix, they can mix each other. And you can move space to the left and you can come back to the right, but somehow time you can go only one way. And there is no special spot in the space. Every space is equivalent. But the time, there is a present which is
local.
Special. Yeah, local.
It's local.
What's special about present?
Locality.
Yeah. So it looks like somebody is scanning the time. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, but the locality problem of time is very interesting, right? So it's like, even if we had watches that were atomic clocks, as soon as anyone goes anywhere, it doesn't work anymore. You have to factor in all the three-dimensional, you know, the spatial change and acceleration, gravitational field. And so that makes, you know, the issues like the Fermi paradox much more complicated. And distance and time are kind of the same thing. Like the further away an object is, the older that object is.
Right.
And it's like being far away seems more significant in terms of time than in distance. And it creates this problem where what we observe is in the past and what we visit is in the distant future, right? So there's no now is like impossible, right? So what we observe, it's 絶対, it's way in the past, right? If it's far away.
Yeah.
If we visit, if we change our locality, then it's way in the future. So that it's like there's no way to communicate in the present, right? Like we're totally isolated in the present, like in from a time perspective, more than the distance problem.
So you mean you cannot visit people in the past or, right?
Well, we can visit people way in the future. We can't visit people like now.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do is to go to someone's local time. Right? Like what's the effect of distance is most, to me, it seems like more time related than anything. And sort of the hard like speed limit. You know, the cosmological constant is...
Yeah, the speed limit is...
seems super arbitrary to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's the speed limit of information?
Speed, yeah. the speed limit, the light speed of the light is the limit of the speed, the information speed.
And it's also the limit, the limit for change, right?
What do you mean?
Like, change cannot propagate through the universe faster than cosmological constant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything cannot travel faster than the speed of light. Mm.
But this maximum rate of change is, like, interesting, too.
Definitely. Mm.
But this, I think it's interesting that we have a physical limitation, like a speed of the limit or entropy never decrease. Mm. So sometimes we extrapolate our ability of manipulating nature because we are developing lots of science. It's really easy to imagine that in 10 years we can have some electric cooler. Mm-hmm. Like you plug the device to the...
You have to plug it in.
Plug it in, then then you can cool down the room.
Yeah.
But this is impossible, right? Because it decreases entropy. But it sounds like it's easy to invent this. Or it sounds like it's much easier to develop a spaceship or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this is impossible because of the laws of physics. So people can people often imagine that the intelligent life form can do anything. They can travel any galaxies or they can develop anything they want.
Mm.
But this is not because we have some definite physics limitation.
Mm. Mm.
So this may be part of the Fermi paradox reason that even though they can develop so advanced, they hit some boundary of the physics limitation and there is something they cannot do.
Hmm.
Hmm. I've heard that if there were intelligent civilizations in the Milky Way, and if they had advanced rocket technology that we can imagine building, so that it would still only take them a few hundred thousand years to like populate the entire Milky Way galaxy.
Few hundred thousand.
So once it starts, you know, from one here to here, and then from here to here, and then once you're like 10 branches of colonization, I guess, that could actually spread through the whole Milky Way in only a few hundred thousand years.
Really?
At a relatively low speed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, what do you call this? I mean, it's exponential, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes, if that's true, then it makes these questions, I think, much more confusing.
So Fermi paradox. Because
there's so much time has passed since.
Well, I like the theory that, I forgot the name, but その conservation theory だっけ。そのここがもう原住民。みたいな感じでもうここしか残ってないからアンタッチのとこがここはちょっと大事に残してみんなで観察しましょうみたいなその保護区認定
Wait, here?
いやいやいや、なんか地球がその保護地区に認定されているみたいなだからこう触らずに遠くから見るだけにしとこうみたいなテオリーがあってそれちょっと好き
めっちゃ愛されています
ね他はちょっと触りすぎちゃったからここだけは、まあ、だけとは限らないけど、そう、一つに認定されてんじゃないか。だから来てないんじゃないかっていう。
What do you think of this idea of that we humans have like a parent in the form of either an alien or some people think of the universe as their parent in a weird way. But people, I guess there's a, is it called a panpsychism. Have you heard of this?
No.
So the idea is that consciousness itself is sort of fundamental to the universe.
right.
existing.
Whose consciousness?
Consciousness.
Like collectively?
I guess
speaking?
The idea is that the universe, yeah, whose consciousness? I don't know. God's consciousness. but that somehow the universe itself is conscious, or I don't know how to articulate it in a way that doesn't sound like nonsense, but sort of like Gaia or something. So if you, it's like technically human beings are a collection of a lot of living cells, and it's not like technically the consciousness isn't just that ego,
mm-hmm.
that clearly, but rather the universe or reality is some form of consciousness. I mean, does this just sound like ridiculous to you? Like these ideas?
I think I don't get the idea yet.
I don't really get the idea either. But I know there is some growing popularity to the ideas like, what was it again? Panpsychism? I don't even know if I'm saying that
I
right.
like that kind of stuff, though. This like yeah. collective consciousness and like...
Like something is aware, I guess, is the notion. Like, okay. is there, you know, is the universe aware, or is there an entity that is aware, or is there an alien
right.
with a box on his desk mm-hmm. and the entire universe is inside that box,
mm-hmm.
but there's still like a...
Some higher being.
Some higher awareness of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Or is the universe sort of a inanimate object thing that only has consciousness at the small levels inside? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Maybe not.
It's so hard to...
But what is... why it's popular? What is the appeal of that?
Well, I think human beings have an innate sense of a God or some sort of architect that, like, because, like you said, it's so well tuned.
Right.
So then people start to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well tuned because
somebody is arranging
something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it all just random?
Or, I mean, like, that might sound crazy, but then it's crazier if you think that the universe itself is completely detached from consciousness, and then consciousness only exists in such a small scale. No?
So universe is detached from the consciousness, you said?
Like, completely 関係ない, and then この小さいスケールだけこうポツポツ consciousness がある。
ああ。
That's mm-hmm. kind of that's crazy too, right? I mean, if that's true. I mean, either way, it's yeah. crazy, I guess.
What scale do you think consciousness is emerging from?
What scale?
Yeah. So if consciousness is like emergent phenomena,
mm-hmm.
is it like chemical level, quantum? I guess everything is sort of quantum level, but like, what do particle physicists have to say about like,
I don't
consciousness or like, is there any?
I mean, we are not studying about consciousness, but I can just say my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very. To me, it seems that we are kind of. Still far away from understanding consciousness.
Mm.
And consciousness is not not very easy topics to treat as a science, because the fundamental nature of science is we do experiment and everybody agrees with the result. But when we talk about consciousness, I can observe my consciousness, but I cannot observe your consciousness.
Mm.
So it's very difficult to do science on consciousness.
But we have so many consciousnesses around.
We believe, but you never know if I have consciousness.
Maybe
right?
we don't have it.
Right.
You're the only one.
Right. Well, we should try to, you know, confirm that you know, it's not a thing, or it's, you know, I don't know. But yeah, it's consciousness is probably the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to approach it.
I know a neuroscientist who's trying to figure out like how it emerges.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, no one, even, you know, like a top neuroscientist doesn't have the answer. But I mean, like, 例えばその、なんだろう、フィーレスからこう成長していって、どこの時点でその自我とかコンシャスネスが生まれるのかとか、その、ピンポイントでどっかあるのかとか。
ただそのコンシャスネス自体をまだ定義してないですよね。
そう。
だからそれ定義しない状態でどこで生まれるのかっていう質問自体もよく定義されてないですよね。
そうだからそのコンシャスネスっていう、だからそのなんだろう、高架機動隊でいうところのそのゴーストみたいなもの、
うん、
それがなんかあると思ってる、
うん、
だそこでまたフリーウィルとかの話にもつながってきますけどね、
うん、
You don't know for sure that they even, so we could have a machine claim that ifis conscious,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
But we wouldn't be able to prove that either way.
Exactly. Right.
But with humans, we kind of just trust, oh, yeah, you're like me. You know, yeah. You're not like NPC, like a, you know, fake human put here by aliens or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we hope that, right?
I mean, some people think that there are fake humans put on Earth by aliens. And then they become, you know, politicians and like Jeff Bezos or whoever. You know, like, that's what some people think. I don't think that, but.
Well, Zuckerberg looks sketch.
Maybe Zuckerberg, but nobody else.
But if you want to upload your consciousness into the internet or something,
mm-hmm.
mm.
you definitely need to understand what consciousness really is.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And particle physicists would argue that you cannot do this,
so
because of the
uh-huh.
disturbance issue,
right? So, yeah, and in quantum mechanics, it's very difficult. And you know, for example, if we talk about quantum qubit,
mm-hmm.
you have a state which is labeled by zero. And another state which is labeled by one. But you can also have a state which has a superposition of zero and one,
mm.
right? And we have state zero, state one, and superposition. Can we distinguish those three states by measurement? Do you think you can do it? So if you measure the state zero, you can find zero state 100% certainty.
Mm-hmm.
If you measure one state, you get one 100% certainty. If you measure superposition, 50% of the time you get zero. 50% of the time you get one. And after the measurement, the superposition is broken and it gets one or zero. So basically, this superposition state cannot be distinguished from zero state or one state. And once you measure, then the state is broken.
Mm.
So if my consciousness is based on the quantum physics, some kind of superposition, there is no way to measure this state, the superposition state. But weirdly, there is a technology called quantum teleportation. So without measuring the superposition state, there is a technology to send this state without disturbing to some distant galaxy. But when doing this, you have to destroy this superposition state. So there is no... The copy, the make a copy is impossible in quantum physics.
Mm.
So it is not possible to measure the quantum state of my brain and copy it to the computer.
Mm.
Or maybe you would change it, right? Like yeah. you can measure it, but you're also changing it.
Yeah.
So you would be like a different person, but maybe that's okay. Is that okay?
Right.
And no, go ahead.
Sorry. そのだからスーパーポジションの状態が結局観察した時点でもうなくなっちゃうわけですよね。うん、だからその結果的に得られるな、ステートは3つあるはずなんだけど、そのメジューした時に得られる結果は1か0の2つしかなくなっちゃうっていうことですよね。
そうです。
And those states are not a statement about what we know. Do you know what I mean? Is it?
Yeah, like what does that mean when we're talking about our brain?
Mm-hmm.
So superposition would refer to what we don't have the answer yet to, or what? So, does that mean?
If we have free will, then we must have like a bunch of superpositions in our head, maybe.
So the consciousness is not understood yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know
what
mechanism creates mm-hmm. consciousness. I'm assuming that some quantum mechanics is essential mm-hmm. for it. If that is the case, then you cannot make a copy of your consciousness.
Right, right. あ、yeah. そういうことか。その一個ステートがもう完全に抜けちゃうから。
そうですね。
うん。だコピーしたら、スーパーポジションが全部抜け、その壊れて答えが出た状態のものになっちゃう。
うん。And even I cannot determine the state of your brain.Because if the state of your brain is a superposition of 0 and 1, if I make a measurement, I get only 0 or 1.
Mm.
I don't know if your state was 0 from the beginning, or it was superposition of 0 plus 1.
Mm.
We don't know. I cannot know
in
principle.
Can you explain the 50% thing? So like if something's in a superposition.
Yeah.
And you have 50% probability of zero,
mm-hmm.
and you have 50% probability of one.
Yeah.
How does the universe decide zero mm-hmm. or one? Like, what's the mechanism of, or there, like, is there a mechanism, or it's...
No, there is no mechanism.
Are we
random?
Are we sure?
Yeah.
That, like, but like. It just seems like something, this is almost like people had a problem with action at a distance
mm-hmm.
before, right? Like you can't have, like Newton thought that you couldn't have interaction without uh-huh. physical contact,
uh-huh.
but that was wrong, like gravity has infinite range.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel that way about this 50%.
so you like, think that... actually, it is
it,
decided
maybe,
already, but
yes.
Because of the human's lack of information, we appeared to find the probabilistic result.
Mm.
Like the cat? Like it's
yeah.
it's dead. It's been
that,
dead.
Like
there's a like a definitive reality.
Yeah. That feels more right. That,
uh-huh.
Objective
the cat
reality
was dead
mm. mm-hmm. the whole time
mm-hmm.
but in quantum mechanics is the cat was in a superposition it wasn't dead
yeah. yeah
right
uh-huh superposition yes
yeah it wasn't dead you killed it when you found out but like that seems
by the way
yeah.
So there is a discussion whether it's objective or subjective.
Right.
Right.
Like who's observing? Is that what you mean?
So let's say we have this superposition state, 0 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a measurement, you get 0, 50% of chance, 1, 50% mm-hmm. chance. But somebody can argue that, oh, this is... Actually, this state was zero from the beginning, but you didn't know. Just you didn't know. So this is one kind of reality. And there was an experiment checking whether superposition really exists or it looks like superposition because we don't know something about this state. This is called the Bell's measurement. And the result was that the superposition must exist. The objective reality was dead.
Wait, it's subjective? Is that?
Yeah.
Is there...
So the superposition really exists.
Okay.
It's not due to the lack of information. It really, it's a reality is really superposition.
that seems ridiculous, though. That's not possible.
So the cat
had to be dead.
But then, like that would mean that there is no objective reality.
That's right. Yeah, there is no.
I think we talked about.
We did talk about this. Like, a scientist doing a superposition experiment was put in superposition by another scientist who was doing an experiment.
So, like, I learned that the cat is dead.
Yeah.
But you don't know. So, for you, it's still
superposition.
But it was, like, whether or not you know the cat is dead was also put in superposition. And then they, like, I don't know. But they had superpositions inside superpositions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
By the way, if you talk about cat, cat, the superposition, the terminology of superposition is not very useful because if you have the meaning of the superposition, so you are, by the way, wearing this double slit experiment.
So, this is Bilingual News' original parka.
Which is inspired by your eloquent explanation of this the first time you were on the show.
Thanks. So this... is very meaningful example of superposition because there are two paths. One history is going through the up slit and the other history is going through the down slit and then they interfere. So they end up in the same location finally and they interfere each other. But if you talk about cat, the dead cat and the alive cat, they don't go into the same result, right? So they don't interfere each other. So then the distinguish between superposition and just objective reality is gone. It's basically the same thing.
It's just the information that you have.
Yeah. So it's the same thing that the cat was already dead. It's not, yeah. But if... the dead cat and alive cat finally leads to the same event in the future, and then they interfere each other, then only superposition is a meaningful statement.
Right. So what do you, so the Schrodinger's cat example, would you say that's not the best?
Best example.
He just said it's super shitty.
It's a
dumbed version, right? So it's really easy to understand.
Yeah, effect of the superposition is so weak for the Schrodinger cat example. But this one, this double slit experiment, because two different history, they run into the same final state and they influence each other. This is superposition is significant.
What would be a better metaphor for this version? Like if I'm flipping a coin.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a good metaphor. But it's almost like the coin flips are affecting the other coin flips. Does that make sense? In statistical theory, you're taught that that's wrong, that each coin flip is independent. But in this superposition example, that probability is not necessarily independent for each photon because they have the wave distribution. Does that make sense?
Probability is not independent, but independent of what?
Of the coin flip is not independent from the other coin flips.
If Yeah, so if superposition does something, then coin flip can be influenced to the other coin flip.
To create a coin flip distribution.
Yeah.
But we don't see that on this scale so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be a good example? Like, good metaphor?
My metaphor sucks.
Not Schrodinger's cat, but like Sakurai's hamburger or something. I don't know. Like, yeah. What would you...
I will think about it.
are there just, you know, this is just such a significant moment in just investigating the truth of reality, the double slit experiment.
Yeah.
But I think people have a hard time translating.
Yeah.
The concept and the implications of the double slit to like how we understand, you know,
mm-hmm.
just everyday events, because it should be relevant to everyday events. You know, you don't know if, you know, I don't know. There are a lot of things we don't know, but all the time we live in states where something could be happening or could not be happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these sorts of,
right,
like, how do we,
but to be a good metaphor, these two have to interfere with each other,
right?
Yeah,
so that's kind of difficult.
So are,
yeah,
there,
it's
like
difficult.
There aren't many like macro examples of
there is, because if you go to macroscopic scale, then the effect of quantum mechanics is getting weaker.
Mm.
Mm.
So it's and also,
damn it,
yeah,
that's why I mean everyone loves Schrodinger's cat example, right? Because it's easy to understand. Mm. But if it's not relevant, then I want a better one. But easy one. Like, yeah. Easy one to imagine.
But the way I imagine it is single events,
mm-hmm.
interfering with other single events,
mm-hmm.
that we would imagine are independent,
mm-hmm.
but they actually form a pattern because of the interference.
Mm-hmm.
But the interference is impossible as far as we can, from a, I guess, Newtonian physical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a weird causality, something funny going on, right?
I mean, yeah.
Does it change our lives? I mean, does this?
I think the essence is that you have to land up in the same final state,
right?
If superposition is relevant. Mm-hmm. And in macroscopic world, it's very difficult to find such example.
Mm.
If cat is dead and if cat is alive,
mm-hmm.
they branch off to the different histories, right?
Mm.
They cannot meet each other again.
Mm.
Mm.
So that's the point.
Mm.
そっか. 残念.
Yeah.
Is that 残念? I don't know.
Well, sorry, Schrodinger. He's a real person, right?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Bye, cat.
Are there any major technologies that we're anticipating in particle physics? I know the, I think Nakayama talked about a linear accelerator.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And recently they developed like a microscopic particle accelerator on a chip.
Really? I don't know that.
They created a chip that has a 30 micrometer channel,
mm-hmm.
very narrow channel for the particles. And then they pulse a laser,
mm-hmm.
and accelerate particles. But it's on a little chip.
What?
Isn't that weird?
Yes,
and they get enough energy?
Well, there's a bunch of energy in the laser.
Right. Hmm.
But is so that competitive with this Large Hadron Collider?
No, it's just small.
Okay.
That's what they said.
Oh.
But, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't reach the same velocity or...
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it does, it's a huge deal, right?
Yeah, but it's small, you know, and the yeah. Large Hadron Collider is large.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And yeah. The...
But we... For us, we are interested in the physics beyond the standard model,
mm-hmm.
so we need more energy to probe the higher or fundamental theory.
Mm.
Which means just bigger and bigger.
Right.
Bigger the better.
So with the same approach, mm-hmm. if we just build larger, more powerful colliders, we will get more answers?
Yes.
It sounds really straightforward, right?
But yeah. So now China and Europe are planning or discussing to build a 100 TeV collider, which is about 7 times larger than the LHC.
Whoa. LHC is how many?
LHC is 13 TeV energy, and this one is 100 TeV.
Wow.
Bikini.
Is it going to be like way bigger too? Or
yeah. It's the LHC is a 27 kilometer circumference. And this 100 TeV collider is 100 kilometer circumference.
Wow.
Sugoi. Doko ni China?
China, 中国 ka matawa CERN, Europa no Geneva desu ne.
And if they build that, we should be able to see, like, Fotino or...
So that will determine whether the WINO, the superpartner of the weak boson, is dark matter or not.
Are we pretty confident that that would find the answer?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when is... It's going to take them a long time to build that,
probably,
right?
50 years in time.
50?
50?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Math is way faster.
What? I did not expect that.
50.
Yeah.
I thought like maybe like 5 years, it's 10 like, years.
It's like after World War III and everything. And like the aliens
50
already.
50 years.
Yeah.
We might still be giddy giddy.
But when they built the original, you know, colliders, like the Large Hadron Collider, I'm sure there were some people that are like, oh my God, you know, it's going to take, I don't know how long it took. But
20 years.
20 years? Why is this one taking so much longer?
Because it's huge.
But they built that Tesla factory in China in like 6 months, and then it takes like 50 years to build. I mean, it's a lot more complicated, but...
Yeah, but because priority is not maybe very high in China.
But doesn't the technology, like... Isn't the technology completely different?
No, it's the same technology.
But by the time
in
they,
like 50 years, right?
By the way, to build the 100 TeV collider, you need a new technology for the magnet.
Oh,
the cooling?
Or? No, the making a stronger magnet.
Ah,
because you have to bend,
right?
The proton.
じゃあそれも考慮して50年。
そうですね. Oh,
そっか.
But this is some trend of the particle physics. We have some limitation of the experiment. Because now it's 100 kilometer, but at some point we will reach the limitation of the Earth, right? The size of the Earth.
Right.
And then size, I don't know. Then it's very difficult to go beyond.
Can we use any of the natural phenomena to... Like if we send a probe to, let's say, Betelgeuse, it's going to explode or whatever. And we send some specific instruments nearby, maybe we can capture those particles more quickly, or
is that... Right, but yeah. If you, by the way, there is a lot of high energy cosmic rays, and
even
there's
here.
energy, even here. And energy is actually much, much higher than the LHC. So sometimes before LHC, people are worried about LHC creates black hole and sucks the Earth.
That was a different universe. It didn't work out.
But the CERN scientist has to, there was some trial and they have to justify this will not happen. And the argument was that there was lots of high energy events in the sky due to the cosmic ray. Mm-hmm. And if the black hole is created, then also black hole is created in the atmosphere. Mm. And we are still okay. Mm. So
so is there no reason for us to like travel to some phenomena and try to measure that? Or is it the laboratory is probably the best place for particle physics?
So far, laboratory is the best place. We don't need to go to like Betelgeuse.
If we could teleport with a machine, would it make sense to like
probably,
try and do
that?
But
if you go to accretion disk of the black hole, then there are lots of high energy particles.
Hmm.
Hmm. Maybe we should send something into the black hole. No?
Is there a plan for that?
Well, there's no plan to get the information back. That's the problem, right?
If you close the event horizon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How close can you measure before? Like, can we get more information by getting close to a black hole, or is it the same thing, same problem?
I don't. Maybe if you get closer, then you know more about black hole, nature of the black holes. I guess.
But maybe, like, could we learn, like, some fundamental, I don't know, breakthrough from?
I have no idea, but the black hole is still a mysterious object.
Hmm.
So we try to know, we desperately want to know what the mechanism of the dark matter as a black hole.
Mm. But we have this weird measurement problem, right? Where, like, if... Like, we can't send something into the black hole.
Right, yeah.
And get data.
Mm-hmm. But you can go close to the surface of the event horizon.
Mm. But the really interesting part is inside.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
What do you think's going on in there? Like, what?
Inside those black holes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it a different dimension, a different reality, or like
it must be.
Time is frozen in there, or like it, do we know?
Yeah, time is frozen on the surface of the event horizon.
Inside?
No, on the surface.
Right, okay.
If you go inside, then the time is not...
Backwards? No.
That would be fun.
The role of time and space will flip.
So does it go backwards? Do you get younger once you're inside?
I think, yeah, time can go backwards, yeah. So basically, in physics...
Do you live forever if you go inside?
By the way, in physics, the space and momentum are cousin. Mm. And the time and energy is another cousin.
Mm.
And if you go to inside of the event horizon, then the negative energy is possible because in the outside of the event horizon we have the positive momentum, negative momentum, both are okay, but we only allow positive energy. If you go inside of the black hole, you allow positive energy and negative energy, but only momentum going inwards is possible. So basically, the time and space changes the role.
Mm.
That's a bit difficult to explain. But
do we?
What exactly happens when time and space switch their role?
Basically, like,
what does that mean?
The consequence is that the momentum direction is fixed, so you can go only inwards.
Hmm.
There is no outwards momentum. And then also you allow negative energy. This is essential for the Hawking radiation, because in Hawking radiation, the negative energy particle go into the event horizon and positive energy. So basically the vacuum, which is zero energy, creates positive and negative energy particles. Negative energy particle go into the event horizon and positive one is coming out. This is the Hawking radiation.
And there are like billions of these black holes.
Yeah.
And
I mean, every the center of galaxy, there is a supermassive black holes.
And does particle physics or quantum mechanics like explain black hole better than like just the Newtonian notion is there's a lot of mass.
Yeah.
And so it's just really it's dense.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so in the Einstein's theory of gravity, we have some more complicated structure of the black hole. You have a singularity inside of the event horizon. You have event horizon. And if you add quantum mechanics, you can have Hawking radiation. But we still don't know what happens inside of the event horizon.
Hmm.
Hmm.
But there is an interesting progress that the black hole has entropy, and entropy is proportional. The entropy of the black hole is proportional to the surface area. So usually entropy of something, of entropy of the room, is proportional to the volume of the room. Mm-hmm. If you double the room, then the entropy is doubled. But somehow for the black hole, the entropy is proportional to the surface area. So this leads to some idea called the holographic principle, which claims that all gravitational events happening in some certain volume can be described by the non-gravitational physics around the surface. This is an interesting idea.
Hmm.
By the way, so this universe is expanding. And if you go far away, the expansion rate is getting faster, right? And if you go far away, far away, far away, at some point you reach the speed of the light, right?
Mm.
If you go beyond that, no light can come in to us.
Hmm.
So this is kind of event horizon.
Like reverse black hole.
Yeah.
Maybe we're inside of a black hole right now.
Exactly.
What about that?
Right.
So we are surrounded by the event horizon.
Right. Did we already get sucked into a black hole? But the black hole is not expanding. Well, you're not serious about this, like we're inside of a black hole idea, right?
No, it's not black hole because we are inside.
But is it possible that the inside of a black hole...
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
People are recording podcasts.
Well, I mean, the idea was that the black hole would just be, I guess, a pathway to this sort of reality. I see what you're saying with the, you know, it's every reality is accelerating away from us by however many parsecs per megaparsec or something, right? It's like the further away something is, the further away. Or the faster it's getting further away.
Right.
And that's true from every single point.
Mm-hmm.
In the, like, not just from here.
Mm.
But those people that are super far away have the same thing about us, right?
So they have a different event horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so does your event horizon doesn't move as
so
you travel?
Actually, because universe is... accelerating, expanding. So this event horizon, day by day, getting closer to us. So now actually we cannot see the event horizon because they are outside of the cosmic ray background. Do you?
It's getting closer to us.
Yeah. So
I don't get it.
Because every day, the speed of the expansion is getting faster.
Mm.
Right?
So the distance to the event horizon is staying the same, but space is expanding out of it. Does that make the sense? Or does that?
So the space is expanding, right?
Yeah.
So if you go farther and farther, the expansion rate is getting faster and faster.
Mm.
And this rate, getting faster and faster, is accelerating. So this rate is higher tomorrow than now, right? So to get to the point where the even light can come back, this boundary is, you don't have to go so much far in the future because the expansion rate is faster. Do you see my point?
The way I'm imagining it is that
it's so hard to understand.
Because if expansion rate is very slow, then to get to the point where the expansion rate is speed of the light, you have to really, really, really far away. But expansion rate, if expansion rate is very, very fast, then it's not very, you don't have to go so much far to get to the point where the expansion rate is faster than the speed of light. So faster the expansion rate, closer to the event horizon.
In my mind, if it's expanding, it's getting further away, but that's not correct. ってこと?
No, it's expanding farther away.
The universe is expanding.
Yeah.
So I would assume that it's...
This event horizon is not object.
Right.
They are not going farther away from you. Right.
Right. そっかそっかそっか.
I think of it as if you were like a rubber duck and you poured a bucket of water here and that spread out. You can kind of ride that towards the edge. But the absolute distance to the observable, the event horizon or the limit of our...
hasn't changed.
Yeah, the absolute distance, I guess, independent of the universe's expansion hasn't changed.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
そっか、その universe as a whole is expanding, but その light が reach できる distance は変わらないから。
変わらないですね。で、その distance っていうのは expansion rate に 比例していて、 expansion rate が 早ければ早いほど その 距離は 短くなっていく。
And if we travel, if you get in a spaceship and you head west, that doesn't make any sense. You head that way.
Yeah.
does your observable universe, it moves with you?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but if it's expanding faster than the speed of light, then you can never get closer.
Right.
So these things that are at the edge of our observable universe, they're already becoming cut off from us forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like the universe that we can interact with is actually shrinking.
Yeah. So now we are fortunate that we can observe cosmic microwave background, right? You can look through 13.8 billion years light away.
As Komatsu-san's doing.
Right. Yeah. But this is because event horizon is farther than that. But at some distant future, event horizon can be closer than this microwave background.
そっか、見えなくなっちゃう。
Right. So we are running out of time to find the answer.
Exactly, yeah.
そっか、だからさっさとやらないといけない。
God.
There is a time limitation.
そっか。
If...
でも見えなくなる。例えばその Big Bang とか なんだ、何がどこまで見えなくなるのに、でも distant future ってすごい先のことですよね。すごい先のことですね。
何百億年。
あ、OK、じゃあまだ時間がある。
But we just got very lucky, and if our civilization appeared a bit later, then we wouldn't have been able to see like the CMB.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it's like, whoa, like,
yeah,
you're really in a... Because we assume we don't understand the universe because we're not smart enough. But if we waited, if the CMB had become invisible, it may not matter how smart you are.
Yeah, clue がもうないってことでしょ。だからその、まあ人類に限ったらそうだけど、その例えば 人類が滅びちゃって他のインテリジェントライフが後から出てきたとしても、その今から何百億年後とかに間に合わなかったら、うん、もう終わりってこと、
うん、
もう謎のまま、
うん、
怖い、うん、What?
And it, I guess it would be 謎のまま for everyone
in the universe.
No?
Right? Yeah. Not just for humans, but any kind of intelligent life that could emerge in this universe at least.
Yeah.
So you don't think that we currently live in that sort of inherently mysterious, like permanently mysterious universe? Because the universe we're talking about in the future seems like it cannot be understood.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we can
tell.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God.
We think that we live in a universe that can still be. I mean, we already understand it much better thanks to CMB, but.
Well, unless there's going to be a super, super intelligent life form that can observe beyond, like somehow observe beyond event horizon.
I don't think so.
No?
Seems very...
Unlikely. No way.
Yeah.
Because event horizon, the definition of the event horizon is that event beyond that is disconnected to us.
Right.
There is no communication.
Mm.
But maybe they can find a fossil of us and they can find Komatsu-san's data. Or...
Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if they emerge on Earth, yes, but if it's somewhere else, then, I mean, all the things, all the information we have now becomes way more important,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Than I thought, at least.
Mm. Is there something that would have been visible a long time ago, but it's not visible now because of this event horizon? No? So like the very, very, very beginning mm-hmm. of the universe,
mm-hmm.
is that still within our observable universe? Like the very beginning? Or
yes.
Hmm.
We're extremely lucky.
Hmm. What if there was something like even earlier though that got cut off and now we think that the Big Bang was the beginning or something?
When inflation happens,
yeah,
then the event horizon was much, much closer to us. So the density fluctuation once went beyond the event horizon and they froze, and then inflation stopped and the event horizon gets farther away again. And they came into our causal universe.
Mm.
So that can happen. So if somehow this like acceleration expansion stopped some time, then the universe outside of the event horizon gets inside again.
Mm.
That can happen.
So.
We can reunite.
Yeah.
Right.
With our distant alien
buddies. Interesting. So strange.
Yeah.
Mm. It's yeah, people don't talk about, you know, the sort of the outside event horizon as much, but
because currently event horizon is outside of the basically it doesn't exist now. Mm.
Right.
Yeah. But in future, they came into the visible universe.
And this dark energy is just going to get more dominant, is what we expect?
Yeah.
Just more and more?
No, but dark energy is constant, right? But the ordinary matter...
Because it's getting... Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the relative importance, strength.
Yeah. So it will accelerate quite quickly.
But it's already dominant, right? 70% of the energy component is dark energy right now.
Hmm.
So it's already dominant. So the impact is not so large.
Hmm. And this dark energy is I mean, what do we know about dark energy? We talked about dark matter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But dark energy...
We have no clue.
There's no hypothetical super partner of...
Because dark energy is not particle. This is the energy of the vacuum.
Are we sure there's no...
So if particle? Dark energy was particle, then it should dilute when space expands.
Mm-hmm. Like there should be a finite number of particles.
Yeah.
But there's just more... It's as if it doesn't dilute, so we think of it as a property of vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Because if you expand space, still every point of the space, you have energy associated to it. So that's why it doesn't dilute.
There aren't more points when... I don't know. Like, I'm trying to imagine, you know, if you have like 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter, just
cube
space, cube, and there's no particles, it still has energy.
Yeah.
And this isn't vibration of particles or anything.
No, this is the
vacuum energy.
Vacuum energy.
And this is something that we can measure. Like it has a... Is this homogeneous throughout the whole universe, the vacuum energy?
Yeah.
So it doesn't change over here or over there. It's like...
Constant.
Throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a...
What?
That's a property of nothing.
Yeah.
But it's there.
The closest thing to nothing is...
Mm-hmm. But there are lots of sources to the vacuum energy. For example, Higgs field is one of them. So the Higgs field can take different values. And currently, the value of the Higgs field is 246 or something like that.
Mm.
And for that value of the Higgs field, there is some energy associated to it. And we have another source of the energy coming from the quarks, the condensation of the quarks. And there are lots of field in the universe, and they they have a peculiar energy for every field. And somehow, if you sum up all the components of the vacuum energy, we observe very close to zero, but it's slightly above zero. Yeah.
But this would be, do these particles need to exist to, so like the Higgs field requires Higgs particle.
Yeah.
Right? But these give energy to the vacuum state.
Yeah.
But if there's no particles, like a multiverse scenario, for example, could we have a universe that has no particles? Like, does that make sense?
So no particles, you mean?
I'm trying to imagine this vacuum, this cube of vacuum. Energy, space, without particles in it, or so the particle, does it has to have particles in it? Or?
So the particle is, so if you have a liquid, you can disturb the surface, it make a waves, right? So these waves are, in quantum mechanics, they are same thing as a particle. So if you have a tank of the water, there is a vacuum energy, and you can make a particle if you disturb the surface. So in your example, you have you prepare the cube, the box of some space, and you say there is no particle, but it could be filled by the field because there is no particle because you didn't disturb it, the surface. Right? But you can, at any moment, you can excite particles in the box.
If there's no particles in the box, Uh-huh. Or sorry, I'm not sure I'm following that one.
Okay.
So there's a box and it has the liquid in it, and then yeah. Perturbations uh-huh. of the vacuum
mm-hmm.
would be considered particles.
That's right.
Hmm.
So there is no particles, but there is some kind of source of the particle, even in the empty space.
Hmm. So like in the universe, is there a fixed number of particles?
No.
It's
how do we can decay or create it.
We have no idea how many particles there are.
I think there are estimates, but I don't remember.
So we know how many particles are like in a square meter or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then we can estimate like observable universe. Maybe it's this many particles.
Yeah.
So in this cube, if there are no particles, like there are no particles in this cube, but you can make them emerge by giving some stimulation.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That makes particles seem like it.
Information. So they just come out of nowhere. You need
some energy to create it.
Right.
And the other weird thing is this whole supersymmetry thing applies to like the beginning of the universe as well, right? With baryogenesis.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this sort of mutual annihilation event
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the baryonic matter left over mm-hmm. is sort of what we're made out of and what we observe.
Mm-hmm.
So most of what was there,
mm-hmm.
the particles or the matter and antimatter at mm-hmm. the beginning, I don't know what the percentage is, but the vast majority of stuff that was there was annihilated.
Right.
And we're like...
Like 1 billionth.
Is it like 1 billionth?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do we know how small the
fraction is?
The leftover is?
Yeah, because we observe how many atoms in the universe and how many photons in the universe. And in the early universes, there was some equilibrium state and the same number of photon and baryons in the early universe. But now we have a billion times more photons than baryons. So that is basically giving you estimate how many are annihilated each other and how many are left.
That scene or the setup before baryogenesis
mm-hmm.
is like really interesting to me. Like, because that's a potential state. Uh-huh. Of the universe,
this is not actually pre-initial condition. There is a mechanism of the baryogenesis. So whichever initial state you start, you can have some mechanism to generate baryon, anti-baryon asymmetry. So the most promising theory is called leptogenesis. So the idea of leptogenesis is that there is heavy neutrino in the theory of the standard model. Actually, you have to introduce heavy neutrinos, but it's very natural extension of the standard model. And this heavy neutrino can produce leptons, but not anti-leptons. Okay, so the heavy, because they are heavy, they instantly decay when universe cools down, and they produce big asymmetry between lepton and anti-lepton. And when universe cools down, at some point, this Higgs phase transition happens. And at that time, lepton asymmetry is translated into baryon asymmetry. There is a mechanism for it. And this is most promising candidate of baryogenesis mechanism.
And what was going on like before baryogenesis?
Before baryogenesis, there was same number of baryons and antibaryons.
And they just hanging out? Like what are they? I don't understand. Like what are they? How long? Why didn't they annihilate?
They annihilate each other very often, but they are pair produced again evenly often.
So, but this is assumed to have occurred at, you know, at some point at the beginning of the universe, right?
Yeah.
And this is baryogenesis is after the Big Bang or during or?
That is after the Big Bang.
After the Big Bang. So this baryogenesis, the baryonic and what's the other one? Non-baryonic matter, antimatter. They were created by the Big Bang?
Yeah. So the most common theory is that you have inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation is powered by the vacuum energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when vacuum energy decay into the ground state, then there is so much energy available, and that energy went into the particles.
The creation of the antimatter.
That's right, yeah.
The Big Bang is so crazy.
Yeah.
So you believe it, right? Like,
yeah, that there are so many evidences of the Big Bang. I mean, Komatsu-san is looking at it.
Yeah.
And you believe that it is like the beginning.
Oh, beginning of everything?
Yeah.
Is that a different story?
Yeah. Like if this inflation theory is correct, then you can also have this multiverse. So you have Mother Universe, which is expanding, and you have creation of lots of the bubble universes. And in that case, I don't know, but there is some theorem called the singularity theorem proved by Hawking, and there must be some singularity at the beginning of the universe. So there must be a beginning, but I don't know.
To me, that just sounds like the beginning of the universe must not have made sense. Or like, because the singularity is like, I don't know, there's probably a strict mathematical definition for singularity, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is? Like
I think that
something becomes infinite.
The scale factor becomes zero. So basically, scale factor is that. So let's say there is a unit of the distance, which is this distance, some 1 centimeter, and when universe expands, this unit of the space expands, right? So if this unit becomes twice bigger, then you say scale factor is now twice bigger. And if you go back in the time, the scale factor gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and at singularity, this scale factor becomes zero. That is a singularity.
And we assume that that's not literal, the zero. Or like it can't actually be zero.
So I think that the Hawking's proof is only classical. The Einstein, based on the Einstein theory. But he didn't include quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanically, I think singularity can be avoided. I don't know. We don't know much about...
Well, people describe... I've heard it described as a violation of, I guess, Newtonian physics. And, like, the singularity. yeah. than a black hole. And would we also consider a violation of quantum physics also?
No, or? But the violation of the Einstein's gravity.
Hmm.
But the quantum mechanically, you can't have singularity because you cannot define some scale smaller than the Planck unit.
Hmm.
Right. So there is no smaller things smaller than the Planck unit. So basically, Planck unit is that to look into the smaller space, you have to probe it with a short wavelength radiation. Because if wavelength is large, you cannot see the smaller structure.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to use very short wavelengths. And in quantum mechanics, short wavelengths means higher energy. Mm-hmm. Like UV
mm-hmm.
light is higher energy than IR infrared light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And to see the Planck scale, which is 10 to the minus 30 something centimeter, this short wave is so high energy such that you form black hole in this region. So if you want to see smaller than the Planck scale, you have to create black hole of the size of the Planck unit. So there is no smaller things smaller than the Planck unit.
So there's nothing that we could use to measure something that has no size, I guess.
Sorry, what do you mean?
We don't have a wavelength small enough to measure a black hole or anything at the Planck scale, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's a theoretical...
theoretical limitation.
Limitation?
Yeah.
Are we close to that limit or...
No, not at all.
No, not at all. What's the smallest thing we can see? They imaged like a hydrogen atom or something, right?
That is big.
That's, yeah.
That's a 10 to the minus 10 centimeter or something.
So that's in the particle sizes.
The hydrogen atom, yeah. The quarks are much smaller.
And a quark is the smallest one?
Or
is that electron?
We believe that quarks and electrons are elementary particles. And if they are elementary particles, the size is zero.
Hmm.
It's a point.
Size zero.
Size zero. Just like me. In US size.
Yeah.
By the way, the last in 2 years ago, we talked about the simulation theory.
Yeah,
right.
Have you changed your mind about
no? No, but I didn't say what I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
On that show, by the way, when in your email you sent me a very interesting story. That at some future time, people invent a quantum computer.
Mm.
And quantum computer is so powerful that some scientists can simulate whole universe. And she, on her computer, she zoomed up and she found the Earth. And she further zoomed up and she found herself looking at the computer screen. And inside of the computer screen, there was another her looking at another computer screen. And she came to the realization that maybe she herself is in the simulation. And she looked back and everybody in the screen looked back. But I wanted to say that simulating universe is not like that. Because universe is quantum mechanics, right? So this means that you have to simulate the wave function of the universe. So basically, you have to simulate all possible history and events in the universe probabilistically. And to me, I don't see the purpose of it. Because what can you conclude from this infinite possible events? Superimposed.
Right?
And another thing is that before quantum mechanics, everything is deterministic, and the it's very fit the simulation theory to the reality. They are easy to understand, and easy to understand the correspondence. But the quantum mechanics makes this correspondence more complicated. And we still don't know the fundamental laws of nature yet. So in a smaller scale, maybe we will find something more dramatic than quantum mechanics. Then this view of the simulation theory might change completely. So to me, it's premature to seriously, discuss the simulation theory. Seriously thinking about anything is a very good thing, but I feel like we don't have enough information to say anything definite about simulation theory.
That's the way the simulation was designed, so we couldn't figure it out. If we figured it out too quickly, it'd be ayashi, right? Like, why can we figure out? If they made a simulation, we wouldn't be able to. We wouldn't even think it's a simulation. Taba, I don't know. But I think strong arguments for simulation theory, from my perspective, seem to depend on sort of metaphysics, sort of limits of human experience. So, like, you know, you can't tell that you're not in a simulation,
right,
or you didn't wake up like 5 minutes ago. But science kind of starts a little bit outside of that kind of metaphysical, philosophical domain. Just assumes that this is like toriaizu, this is what we're experimenting on is here.
Right.
You know, it'd be weird to have the premise, like, assume that you're in a simulation while you're doing all of your science. Like, that would be very different.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wouldn't make a difference. I don't know. Maybe it would be the same.
でも結構ド M っぽくない? It's like, I know this is just a simulation, but I kind of want to figure out what's going on. Like, how can you take it seriously?
My theory is that we are the simulations. I think I communicated something about this in the email, but each living entity in the universe is a simulation. And so you and me and mommy and all the animals and all the things that we say have a consciousness, I interpret it as they have a simulation.
So different simulations?
Yeah, they're all different.
Okay.
And all of these simulations are trying to, well, these entities are trying to refine and create the most accurate simulation. And then over time, the simulations get better. All of the simulations get better. And so...
So what happens when it gets better?
Well, so the model of reality in my brain right now is better than the models of reality in monkey brains, you know, millions of years ago. So it keeps getting better. And if humans, if we continue to move away from our biological roots and we continue to write information down and transmit information and use the scientific method, I think that artificial intelligence or some kind of silicon-based life will have consciousness, and that will 自然に become the simulation. So right now, I can't live in your mind. Right. You can't live in my mind. We are differentiated entities that evolved out of nature.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, when life or information or metabolism or whatever it is moves into more reliable, permanent, you know, silicon-based life, mm-hmm. which, as far as we can tell, it's totally possible to do what the brain does in silicon form, that life forms themselves will become, I mean, they already are, but will become a simulation where entities can be generated within the mind. So you can imagine, like, the internet right now
mm-hmm.
is still connected to a bunch of human skulls with brains in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once we get rid of the human skulls with brains in them, and you sort of have this artificial intelligence, sort of silicon-based,
mm-hmm.
we have egos, so it's hard to understand this concept.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't have egos, then the human race would be a cybernetic, like, network with the internet and with our mobile devices and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very crude input-output right now. But
so you're saying that every consciousness will eventually unite to the more
just on Earth, complex. We will have a united, much larger, much more powerful simulation that will continue to refine its epistemology about the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an inevitability. Whether entities inside that future matrix would feel that they are inside of a simulation mm-hmm. because they are part of a silicon-based mind, mm-hmm. which is an approximation of reality,
mm-hmm.
right? So you live in your simulation, which is just your how you see the world, and I live in my simulation, which is how I see the world, and that's fine because all of our simulations stay inside of our heads. But if it becomes this distributed
mm-hmm.
network like the internet, and you remove the monkey bodies
mm-hmm.
and you remove the egos,
mm-hmm.
you effectively have a massive simulation that would have, if there are entities within that simulation,
mm-hmm.
they would live inside of this larger
uh-huh.
mapped reality.
Right.
And they would have to experience everything through sort of the sensors, the worldview of the simulation.
Uh-huh.
We have our monkey bodies,
yeah.
so we can directly sort of, it's not that direct, but it feels more direct that we're in the world. But if you were part of a silicon-based cybernetic
uh-huh.
network, you would just be in the simulation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I understood.
Yeah. So that's my, I think it's
that's your future projection.
Yeah. I don't see the future going any other way.
Mm.
And I think aliens have already done this.
Uh-huh.
So the vast majority of intelligent alien life
uh-huh.
would only spend maybe 100 years, 1,000 years, maybe 10,000 years
uh-huh.
Advancing from biological to silicon.
Uh-huh.
And then they would enter the same
so they don't simulation. Colonize galaxies or anything? They're just sitting in the networks?
Well, it depends if the cybernetic AI, if it wants to improve the simulation,
mm-hmm.
then it needs to increase entropy by collecting more energy, uh-huh. more resources to increase computation.
I see.
There's still going to be some physical requirement
mm-hmm.
underlying the
mm-hmm.
that structure. But I think the internet, or not the internet, well, basically the internet, but the universe, which is basically going to become the internet, is already populated with these kinds of informational structures of refining mm-hmm. Approximations of what objective reality
right.
is. And then those simulations would basically argue with each other over the intergalactic internet to win arguments about who has a more accurate simulation of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever species has a more accurate simulation of reality will be more successful. mm-hmm. and exert its influence on other mm-hmm. alien species.
So the last time I was on the show, we mm-hmm. talked about paperclip maximizer.
Yes.
Right.
yeah.
And
of course.
and when the science advance, as science advance, we can do more things mm-hmm. which we cannot do right now. But it must, we find some purpose of doing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for this story, the purpose was to maximize paper clips.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the purpose of the human? Do you think that is...
survival.
Survival. But for you, when I listen to your story, it seems that our purpose of life is to simulate reality more accurately.
That's the only way we can survive.
Ah, so this is a consequence of the survival.
Yeah. Our current state of reality on Earth, I don't think is sustainable. If we do this mm-hmm. for 500 years, we'll have World War III, World War IV, nuclear fallout, pandemic disease, blah, 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 blah. This is not sustainable. The current state of affairs on planet Earth is going to expire. It will either evolve to a different state or it will self-destruct.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time. If we don't create the simulation, and let's say this is sustainable, still an asteroid will come and mm-hmm. kill all of us.
Yeah.
And so the cybernetic intergalactic internet organism is either going to happen or we're going to go extinct.
It's intergalactic networks.
And it comes back to the anthropic principle. Uh-huh. If you do not refine your simulation of the universe, then you do not survive. And if you do not survive, then you're not here to be talked about. That's just persisting is the only thing that matters.
Hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
For form or information to persist
mm-hmm.
is, I think, the only goal
I see.
That we have. Mm-hmm. If you don't persist, then who cares? You're gone. Like, well, your second goal doesn't matter.
Like, yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the universe works in such a way that you can only exist by evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Or you will be discarded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my interpretation.
Interesting.
So this it's kind of a loophole version of simulation theory, but
so we should better understand what consciousness really is.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's a bit of a gap in like thinking and cosmology
mm-hmm.
where personally, I feel like there's not enough creative thinking about the potential for what consciousness might be doing,
mm-hmm.
What the scale that it could be.
Uh-huh.
Because any credible cosmologist right now, if you ask them, like, what have you factored life into this, or is life... Mm-hmm. going to change, you know, the evolution of the universe or anything. By far, the consensus is that it's negligible.
Mm-hmm.
It's no effect. But you're betting against human beings. Mm-hmm. You're betting against the thing that the universe made, the most advanced, the thing, as far as we can tell, that has the best chance doing something in the universe. Cosmologists are like, there's no chance. They're not going to make any difference to how the universe evolves. There's no way to avoid, you know, any of these major cosmic events. But I don't know, maybe life does something like mm-hmm. Kekkyoku. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm biased as a conscious being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting what happens in 100 or millions years time from now.
Yeah. We want to know, right?
We won't know.
We won't know, but I don't know, they'll drag me out of a black hole in a million years.
Yeah, who knows?
But by the way, we talked about information last time. Maybe I said something wrong, but not completely wrong. But I said you said that the universe generating information, and I said no, information is never generated because quantum wave function is deterministic. If you know the wave function at time one, you can compute the wave function at time two, and vice versa. So because they are completely related to each other, there is no information generated or destroyed. But this is kind of God's viewpoint, because as a human, we perceive universe by a sequence of measurements. And when you make a measurement, you don't see whole wave function. You just extract some information, which is part of it. In that viewpoint, actually, information can be talked about entropy. They are kind of similar things. And you're right that because entropy is increasing, the information is also increasing.
Yes.
But you also said that the frog has lots of information than
the moon.
Moon or something. But the frog has very low entropy state, right? Compared to the, like egg, like broken egg in higher entropy state compared to the whole egg. So this means if you say entropy is proportional to the information, then the broken egg has more information than the egg.
But the frog, in order to evolve all the way into a frog, I think you have to add up all the
history
of the of frogs and frog,
like as a evolution, species as a whole.
Yeah, there's. I want to tie information to like continuity or something. There's like so you think it takes less information to describe a frog than a moon.
That's right.
Because
frog has structure. So like when you have an image file.
Right. So you're saying the frog is... So can we say that the frog is... Well, isn't the moon very compressible as well?
Compared to the gas, for example.
The moon is closer to gas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So gas, moon, and then we're making our way to frog. And then after frog is maybe like human brain.
But let me just go back to this image file analogy. And in the image file, you have to specify the color in each pixel. But this is very information consuming. But usually, if you look at the image file, usually there is a human face and background, and the neighboring pixels has a similar color tone. So using that knowledge, you can compress the file size, right? So you can say from pixel number 1 to 10, it's white, and from pixel 11 to 20 is black or something like that. Instead of saying pixel number 1, white, pixel number 2, green, etc. And if you have an egg, you can say the same thing. You can have from here to here, it's a yolk, and from here to here is white color part. But if you smash the egg and you mix each other, now you have to specify every pixel which particle is sitting there.
Right.
So it cannot be compressed. So it has more information. So if you have some structure, it tends to that the information is less. And if you have no structure, because you have to specify every pixel what's happening, information is more.
And the entropy is the same as you'd expect in, I guess, like ice or something. You know, so like water, you remove the energy and it gains organization, becomes easier to compress.
Right.
Right? So that makes sense?
Yeah.
So the universe itself, at the very beginning was literally compressed. Well, it was denser, right? And would you say the very beginning of the universe was more easily compressed and less information? And then towards the end of the universe, it is much more harder to compress.
Right.
And it's more information and much higher entropy.
Right.
So we have this trend of the through the universe of this crystallization of organized form, which...
But the organized form has less information, right?
Right. So this is like, it's kind of backwards. So the universe generally, I guess we should call it the medium. The medium has entropy going up.
Yeah.
And then we are like entropy going down.
Right.
So, but we feel like we're active. But when we look at the universe, it's sort of this cooling that is driving the compressibility.
Right.
And do we know how this is happening, like across scales? Because it seems to me like the more lower entropy phenomena are smaller scale. So the surface of the planet is where all of this is happening, because the surface was able to cool very quickly and create more organization that couldn't be there if the surface was way too hot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if the surface was molten, then it's too much energy to get the structure out.
Yeah.
And when we look at the universe this way, doesn't it feel like causality is in reverse, or there's no causality?
What do you mean by causality is reverse?
So if you cool water and structure appears, you assume, so from our scale, we get structure by people doing things and using, you know, energy to put things together. But on the universal scale, it seems like the cooling is just, it's just cooling. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I think the medium, the entropy is increasing, but if you look at some local region, some part of the space, the entropy is going down.
And the around that, so we're doing it to our environment. So you're like an anti-entropic actor because you organize data around particle behavior, and you're participating in this. Our future simulation that we're all going to be trapped.
But it's a bit counterintuitive that the lower entropy has lower information, because
So I wanted to use the word complexity, but people don't like that one either.
Okay.
I don't know what word works for this, but I would say a frog has more complexity than the moon, because the moon is a coalesced, rock.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, a frog is like millions of frogs, generation after generation after generation of frogs, you know, having frog sex, doing the whole mutation from a tadpole. You know, there's unbelievable complexity.
Right.
And like just turning from tadpole to frog, just that is like, oh my god, that has to be more complex than the moon, because it's just a big ball of dust.
I understood what you mean by complex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any formal notion of complexity?
I don't know. It's not my field, but maybe. So sometimes if you speak different terminology, sometimes conversation doesn't go well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people say complexity information in a different way than I am using.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Entropy too. It's also hard to use
the,
that
the last time I was on the show, I wasn't familiar to this information and the relation of information and entropy.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was a bit confused.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with information complexity and entropy.
Mm-hmm.
And the,
for years now.
Yeah, because I feel like that's the most intuitive way to understand what the universe is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is through those things. So it's creating increasing complex entities at smaller scales.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just assume that that's happening everywhere, not just here.
Mm-hmm. I hope.
I hope.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to go pick up my son.
Okay.
But was there anything that you wanted to send in to do?
ないです。
Nothing?
なんもない。なんかウェブサイトとか。
なんも宣伝することないですね。
Okay.
The universe. Or,
何も宣伝することがないのにわざわざ来ていただいて本当にありがたいです。いえいえ。ありがとうございます。
楽しかったです。
Do you still think the universe might collapse with the sort of metastable lower vacuum state? We're all going to disappear.
To answer that, we need a linear collider.
Oh, okay.
We have to
measure. They're building that here, right? In Japan? Linear collider?
Yeah. The international linear international linear collider in Tohoku area.
Yeah, we should figure that out. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for spending your time
thank you for having me.
These crazy existential questions, and it's
fun.
All like
borderline tinfoil hat.
Yeah, it's like, how is this stuff real? How are we real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. またぜひ来てください。
Definitely, please.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.